If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. Oh my God. And of course, Giant, thank you too. Austin Rodriguez and Mike Kelton, both those were fantastic episodes. And I want to apologize so much for taking a month-long hiatus. I really had to. There was a lot of shit going on in my life last month. And March will hopefully be better. That's the easiest way to look at it. A lot of professional, a lot of personal, and actually a physical injury too. It all sucked, but it's all good. It's all in the past. It's all water under the bridge. For the most part. There's some rocks under that bridge too, but it's water. It's a straight, water gets through the bridge. That's what I'm trying to say, guys. Water gets through. If there's a way, it will get through. Lots of really cool things. This is not a plug necessarily. This is a show announcement that I'm very excited about. I'm just going to say it right now. Save Easter Sunday if you're in New York City. There's going to be the longest improv set you could probably ever see. That day, there will be a lot more information coming. I think my guest today might be, my guest really wants to do it. It's going to be really cool. I'll talk about that. We have a month to talk about that. I'm just saying, April 5th, 12 to 12, you might want to be by the treehouse. That's all I'm going to say. My plugs will be later. There's some really great stuff happening this week, too. There's so many ways you can support the show. You probably know them by now. If you go to iTunes, you can rate us, review us. If you write this review and give us 5 stars, free shirt review, is going to be, I cannot wait for April 5th, and I'll be there front row from 12 to 12. Also, Hit the Mark rocks. If you write that word specific, then you get yourself a free Hit the Mark shirt. You have to give me a faux thumbs up with you, and you have to email htmpod@gmail.com. But you'll get yourself a free Hit the Mark shirt. We have a Zazzle store. We can buy shirts, hats, mugs, all that great stuff. We have so many great things. You know, like, it's awesome. And it all supports the show. It's also, a free podcast. And if you want to also, if you go to hitthemark.podomatic.com, you'll see all 180-plus episodes on one side. And on the column next to it, you'll see a button for PayPal. You can donate as much or as little as you want. It all helps the show. A lot of great things are happening. Today's guest I am obsessed with. Gabby Van Horn will be talking to her very, very shortly. But first, I want to do a very important to me play review. A few weeks ago, I saw the Goodman Theater production of The Iceman Cometh at BAM. For those that don't know, I am not necessarily a Eugene O'Neill fan. I find his work very cumbersome and heavy-handed most of the time. His scripts are very hard to read and even harder to memorize. Mm-hmm. As a theater student, that is a very true fact. And they're normally about 2 hours too long. These are all things that are actually slightly present in the Iceman Cometh production that is at BAM currently till the middle of the month. It is 4 hours and 45 minutes long, counting 3 intermissions. It is slow, it is lumbering, but it is fucking beautiful. Like, you feel every minute of this production. I know that doesn't sound like a good thing, but Act 1's long. Acts 2 through 4 are about an hour apiece, but, it's, oh my God, guys, Nathan Lane should only play Hickey from now on. He is a good actor, but he plays the main character in Iceman Cometh. He's not the Iceman. Fun fact, I thought the Iceman was Hickey until I saw this play. I tried to read the play before, and I couldn't get through it. Brian Dennehy as Larry Slade, who's on stage the whole fucking play, is incredible. The whole cast is incredible. If you see things on Broadway, you've seen probably at least half of them before. And also the scenic design is gorgeous, simple, and beautiful. Like, Act 3 is amazing. The other two acts are just beautiful. And the lighting design is unbelievable. Just to give you an idea of what they're doing in this play, the play starts, and it's basically black on stage. like you see like a glowing orb, and you realize that glowing orb eventually is Brian Dennehy, and that there's other glowing orbs around him, and those are the rest of the cast. It's fucking insane. If you can get to BAM and see this production, if you also want to know how to get good seats at a lot cheaper, the row N partial view seats are $60, and they're not partial view at all, and they're impeccable orchestra seats. That's all I'm going to say about that. It fully hits the mark. I wanted to walk home after production, but that was a mistake because I made 2 blocks and my beard turned to pure ice. Because it was when it was like 10 degrees outside and I just saw a 5-hour play. All right, so today's guest, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this person. I've only known her for 5 months. It feels like longer just because we get along really well. She is on Sad Jazz. She is the first member of Fallen Socks I've had on since Fallen Socks started. We're going to have another one very, very soon. Maybe next week. We do not know yet. I forgot what else she told me to say when plugging her. But you, if you don't know her, you're going to love her soon. Gabby Van Horn, how are you?
I'm good.
Did I build you up too much?
I've never done anything like this. I guess.
Really? You haven't done any podcasts before?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm happy to be your
exactly.
First.
Yeah, you're my first, Mark. Oh,
well, great. Awesome. I'll be gentle.
Thank you.
Yeah. How are you doing on this cold morning?
Yeah, it's windier. It's windier than I thought it was going to be. I have my light long johns on today.
Oh, no.
Not my strong ones.
Right, because you're from the north.
I'm from the north, yeah.
Right, you're from Maine. Yeah.
Once again, like, I say this every time. People are like, yeah, you're from Maine. You must get used to the winters. You're so used to them. I'm like, no. We drive everywhere.
Right.
We go from heat to heat. Our houses are fully stocked with firewood. Like, we are fully prepared for winter.
I talked to Mopas about that because, like, she's from Wisconsin.
Is she?
Yeah, which is more of like, that's like what I think of Maine as like, that's a pretty hardcore snow area.
Yeah,
but Wisconsin and like Minnesota, you're like, you should be built, like those are like built for like the snow.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And like, you're never walking around in 2-degree weather.
Right.
Ever. You don't leave your house.
And like it's
absurd to think that this city, which is run by people who walk around, by commuters, can still get by so easily when it's so cold.
Well,
it's so sad.
I don't even own long johns.
Oh, you gotta get on that.
And you have a pair of light and heavy long johns.
I do indeed.
And I bet you're like, it's kind of like a jacket. You're like, yeah, I go on medium heavy ones.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I also have like, I wear like 3 to 5 jackets.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen you in the winter.
Like just peeling off like the layers before practice.
Yeah.
I know, exactly.
Well, yesterday was the first day where I had to wear one jacket.
Yes, that's true. Yesterday was beautiful. It was lovely.
I love how like this is like straight up becoming like we're a cold New Yorker podcast.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine. It's loud. I mean, like the winter didn't come till late this year, you know.
I know, and it came strong.
It came really strong. Like so I feel like I cursed it because I got work. I'm like, yeah, we barely got any snow like for like half the winter.
Yeah.
And then like snow.
Yeah. Terrible.
But whatever, it happens.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. You must miss Florida during this shift.
I actually rarely miss Florida.
Nice. I guess that's what everybody says when they're
from
Florida.
I mean, not. I actually feel like one of the people I know that really is not that pro Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my good friend Lindsay Arbor from Mead, like, we've known each other for years. Like, she just did the podcast a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, no, I love Florida. I'm like,
really?
And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. I mean, I had nothing else to say about that. But
My roommate's from Florida or grew up there during high school. She's like, yeah, it's the worst. She hates it too.
What part of Florida?
Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, like, my area where it's, like, basically all just crazy people on drugs.
Yeah, crazy people, lots of juice.
Woo-hoo. Juice or juice?
Probably both.
Okay.
I would hope.
I mean, like, it's you know, orange is the national fruit there.
Exactly.
I didn't call it the state fruit, I call it the national fruit on purpose. Because Florida is geographically part of you know, United States, but it's not really. I don't have a passport. I don't know how I'm going to get back home. Oh, God. I can tell it's going to be a really happy episode. I needed a happy episode to get myself back into this stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm really happy that, like, because, okay, so this is weird. I never knew who you were until Patrick Grizzard told me that, like, about, like, a random BYOT team that you wanted to put together.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, he had been trying to do that for a while.
Yeah.
And I kept not being able to do it.
I remember that you were supposed to be at the set that, this is going to be the weirdest humble brag ever. Oh, God, it's recipes Harris Wills, I have to say that. But you were supposed to be at the set that was Don Harris, Patrick, and myself. And
okay.
I ran through chairs in that set.
Nice. My
character was, like, high on drugs. I just, on the back line, just walked through all the chairs of the beast. And it's basically stopped the set. I feel like such an asshole, like, bragging about this. But, like, I remember you're supposed to be there. And, like, I think Dave Murray told Patrick, he's like, yeah, I remember seeing the set where, like, Mark ran through chairs. And, like, actually, yeah, I was on stage. Oh, boy.
Well, I'm glad we're on a team now.
Yeah, I am. I'm so happy. For those that don't know, Fallen Socks is, like, the best thing ever.
It's true.
I hate saying that because that sounds like any cliche thing, but we got some respect already, which is pretty cool for a new team.
Yeah, we got some. I mean, the lineup is spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's been around for a while.
That's true. Yeah.
And they're all, like, well-known, I believe, well-liked people.
Yeah.
I like everyone on the team. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. That Dan Sargent, he's a fucking asshole.
Oh, God, I know.
Dan, I know you're listening. You know I love you. Yeah, actually, you are the second person on the team that's been on the show because Dan did the show a year ago about.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So, all right, let's just fucking dive in.
Great.
All right, we're diving in. We're, like, jumping in.
Great.
You're just nodding right now. And let's just start. What was, like, your big comedy or acting inspiration growing up?
Well, I started acting when I was really, really young.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know we both come from, like, theater backgrounds.
Yeah,
hardcore,
exactly.
So.
There was this woman, Mary Weaver, who was
in Maine.
In Maine. Yeah.
What part of Maine are you from?
I'm from Midcoast Central Maine.
Wow, you're like not even like from a big town in Maine, are you?
Oh no. My town is 700 people.
Holy shit.
And my school district alone, there are 12 towns in the school district.
Uh-huh.
And there were only like 100 graduating people in my class. So it's a very small.
Oh my God. You're a small town girl.
Small town bumpkin girl, and like
you're not a bumpkin. I won't call you a bumpkin.
Well, I'm not a bumpkin because my parents are hippies and went and like did the whole off the grid situation. And like my dad was in a hippie commune, and
do not know that, but I can kind of gather that.
Right. So that they bring their hardcore counterculture. You know, that's why I'm not as much of a bumpkin as
okay.
Formulating friends, but
a 100. Wow. Sorry, my graduating class was small at 700.
Oh my God! No.
Yeah, my school was 3,000, like 300 people.
Yeah, no, a little bit smaller, but still, I try and brag about that, and they'll be like, people who go to private schools and have 12 people in their graduating
class.
Well, yeah,
but fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck that. I mean, I went to private school for 7 years, and it was not good. I went to Jewish day school for 7 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, my graduate class was like 60 people.
Uh-huh.
Well,
when was that, like formative years?
Yeah, kindergarten through sixth grade, just why I'm such a normal human being, because I was not picked on at all.
No.
Not at all. Oh, boy. And then my bar mitzvah was the last time I saw most of them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a graduation right there.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, no, their bar mitzvah, because I invited everyone to my bar mitzvah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's half a life ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
More than half a life ago.
Yeah.
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 That's crazy.
So, okay, so you grew up.
So I grew up in a little town, Freedom, Maine, next to Unity and Friendship. And Hope.
Wait, really?
And Liberty. Yeah.
Are these real?
These are real towns. Yeah.
Like everyone that named these like hippies or?
No. I think like super patriotic. Like I think this is founding fathers of Maine, 1820.
Okay.
They're like, well, we're gonna base this on, you know, all the founding, things of the United States.
Okay.
We're gonna be a real, and there's also like, China, South China, Paris, South Paris, Mexico, Sweden. They were also just really unoriginal. with naming the towns.
And they're like, you're going to see like fruit pie or something like that.
Yeah, they're like food town.
Pasta, me.
Blueberry.
Strawberry.
And then, like, if you get even further north, the towns just are numbers, legitimately.
Are you serious? Yeah. So there's, like, 87 Maine?
There's, like, N623. No one lives there, but they have to give it a township, I guess, or something.
I want to drive through Maine and just see these signs and take photos of those signs.
No, it's funny. It's weird. Oh, Maine is a weird place. It's great, though.
Okay.
So, I was very young and... like 4 or 5, and Mary Weaver was a friend of my
right.
parents during their hippie days, and she had a little children's theater that my older sister had gone through, and my older sisters above that had also done.
Are you the youngest?
I'm the youngest. Okay. I'm a baby.
I'm a baby.
And so, yeah, I was. She like did these programs on the weekends and
okay.
did little kids shows where everybody was a caterpillar or a bear or like a fruit fly or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was any variation on that sort of bug theme for about 6 years.
Yeah.
In a bunch of different little shows, and then it just became a staple in my life. Like I would just always be doing shows and stuff like that.
When did you start doing like plays that were not like
not bug themed?
Yeah.
I guess. When did you graduate from children's theater?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I started doing... I mean, I just sort of went on the path. Like, I went to theater camp
a little bit.
And, like, started to do musicals, I guess.
I wish I could
like,
sing.
Like, junior high. Aw.
I
bet you could.
No, I really can't. I learned at a young age... I love karaoke, though.
Oh, well, there you go.
But, no, I still can't sing.
Oh.
Like, I'm really good at karaoke because I can sell the songs.
Right.
Exactly. But, like, that's it.
That's where, that's all confidence anyways. That's what I've learned, honestly, like, with singing.
Yeah.
It's all just confidence.
Okay.
It's all just committing to...
Are you a good singer?
I am a good singer.
Okay.
And I'm getting better every day. It's like, you just keep getting better.
All right.
And you keep literally finding your voice. Same thing with improv. Like,
right.
You just figure out what you're good at and you play to it.
Okay.
And some people are chameleons, and some people are really good at that. And some
yeah.
people are much better at just honing in on the at their own personal craft. And,
all
like,
right.
making it good for themselves.
No, I fully agree about
yeah.
that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like, it's weird, because next week is my 5-year anniversary doing improv.
Oh, wow.
At UCB, yeah. And, like, I'm just in that weird spot, like, where I'm, like... Like, because I always, like, evaluate myself mentally where I'm at the end of each year.
Of course.
That's and, like... I think I've made some big strides in the last, like, few years, which is, because, like, in the beginning, I felt like I was just, like, I was learning, but I felt very stagnant, you know?
Plateauing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm, and, like, yeah, I don't know, I feel like ever since I really let my freak flag fly, things have gotten better.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
But.
And think that it's really important for people to... figure out what they actually enjoy doing. Like,
right.
if you don't enjoy being a straight man,
well,
if you don't enjoy...
I will gladly be a straight man and sing.
Right, exactly, but, like...
But, I mean, like, I've played now for a year and a half with Daniel Sargent now, who
oh,
is
yeah.
one of the best straight men that I know.
Exactly.
And I'm like, why do I want to be a straight man when that guy is the perfect straight... How
right.
can I... How can I out... Actually, I did out straight man him once. in our Archie set that we did.
Oh, yeah.
I made him purposely very weird that set, and he was still Dale
yeah,
Sargent.
Yeah, that's
weird.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. That was good.
Wow, we're talking about old improv sets. Only 19 minutes into the episode. That's great. Okay. Actually, because I did a lot of children's theater, but
yeah.
not as a child.
Oh, fun.
I did,
like
plays.
Like, professionally.
Well, not professionally. It was, like, I went to, like, a children's... theater group.
Sure.
Like, it was, like, a group of for theater of, like, kids from, like, 12 to 18.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And, yeah. Like, I ended up doing, like, Alice in Wonderland
yeah,
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. So,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I did variations on that theme, I guess, like, pretty much throughout all of my formative years.
And also, I did a lot of, like, original plays about, like, Jewish stories.
Oh,
except it's a Jewish day school.
Yeah. Yeah.
My first play ever, I was Haman in the Purim play.
There you go.
Which I remember I had to rap.
Oh God! They made everyone rap with like 10 years too late. You know what I just recently watched? I watched
what?
The rapping episode of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, so I know what you're. I know what you're talking about too.
Oh. My lord.
Actually, around when that happened is when this... I was, like, in kindergarten when this happened, so...
Exactly. They're like,
it was...
Let's get these kids.
No, but I mean, I feel like that rapping. Was, like, when I was, like, cool. Like,
right, exactly.
Like, I mean, like, let's get these little Jewish white kids to rap. Actually, I was the only one that rapped in the whole play.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
It happens.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, what's it like growing up in such a small town? I can't even fathom that.
Well, you drive a lot.
Okay.
You drive everywhere.
Everyone's got, like, acres.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have that many acres. I think we only had 17, and then we upgraded to, like, 14.
That's insane to me.
Or, sorry, 7 to 14.
That's still insane
know,
to me.
I know.
My friend had
60 acres just because they had it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, because I know Maine's a huge fucking state.
It's very large. It's the same size as the rest of the states in New England.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's, like, 8 people in Maine.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
like, it has the tiniest population. All of them live in Portland, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, my... So, yeah, I mean, like, in Miami, my parents live on a half acre, and I thought that was huge. I think that...
Oh, wow.
In my mind, that's huge.
Yeah, right.
So, I can't even fathom, like... I can fathom, but I can barely fathom, like,
right.
Your youth.
Well, I mean, it was cool.
Okay.
I liked it.
And I don't mean it like, in a bad way. I'm just like, I'm
no,
just,
no, like, I, yeah.
I'm also clarifying for the listeners. I'm like, I'm just amazed.
Yeah, you drove everywhere.
Okay.
All of your friends were like 20 minutes away. Although I was really lucky. I made a really good friend. When I was waiting for the bus one morning, I saw that another friend was waiting for the bus down the street. And, like, had never really realized that I had there was a girl that was my age who lived, like, a stone's throw down the street from me.
So, like, 18 acres away?
Yeah, exactly. No, like, very close.
Yeah.
And so, I was very fortunate to have her as a good friend.
That's good.
During, you know, my growing up time. But yeah, you drove to all of your friends' houses all the time, and, like, yeah, it was cool.
The funny thing is, like, that right there is not much different from, like, me when I was, like...
Right.
Because, like, it was just, you know, like, it was, like, just drove about the same distance sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes close to, like, my longest best friend, lived, like, 10 blocks away from me.
Mm, nice.
So, yeah.
I always imagined growing up in the suburbs and, like, playing stickball and, like, rollerblading in the middle of the street.
Well, I did rollerblade in the street.
Right, exactly.
Stickball,
and, like, all those cul-de-sacs and stuff I romanticized.
Yeah,
sure
there were a lot...
Weird.
Where I grew up, there were a lot of cul-de-sacs.
Mm-hmm.
I did not live on a cul-de-sac, but I did have a surprise birthday party on a cul-de-sac, which was the stupidest thing in the world, where people park right outside.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No surprise there.
I'm like, there's so many cars that I actually recognize.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Why are all of my favorite people here?
Yeah. At a place they would not necessarily be at.
Right, exactly.
Because they don't really know this person.
Right.
At all. Yeah.
Right. I get it now.
So,
for me.
What were, like, your, like, what did you, like, do in high school? I'm assuming theater a lot, right?
Yeah, theater. There was a really good chamber singer group. That...
You must, I gotta hear you sing. I'm not gonna make you sing right now, but, like, I wanna hear you sing now, like.
Yeah, I want to do more singing as well.
Okay.
In general. but, yeah, so I did chamber singers in high school as well. It was, like, it was a really, really awesome group.
Yeah.
And a nice little cultural staple in our community or
That's
whatever.
That's so cool, yeah.
And, we would raise money every year through our CD sales.
Nice.
What?
Yeah, you
go
hear?
Get your Chamber Singers Another Year in a Round Part 2. I'll be on it with a solo. Hey, yo.
What was the name of the one that we had?
I forget. It was like Another Time Around because we did this thing called Carols in the Round during Christmas.
Right.
Which is actually probably not a good thing that we did. We would travel to churches.
Okay.
Like every day and do an hour long show every night or whatever.
Oh, wow.
But I can't believe that it was funded and totally cool for us, like a public school, to be going to churches.
Right.
Like, I went to church way more than I ever thought about doing as a little, you know, high schooler.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, it feels politically incorrect, but like, no, they were endorsing like, that.
Kind of, you know? Like that church and state separation
right, exactly.
That should happen. Yeah.
Or whatever. If no one cared. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but, like, my parents who couldn't believe in religion less didn't care.
Right.
But it just, it's so funny that it's
yeah, I know we
so
recently
okay.
just had that conversation, like, where I found out a lot about your, like, religious stuff. I'm like, okay.
Right, yeah, exactly. But, yeah, so I did that for all 4 years. We, like, got to travel to El Salvador.
Really?
And Hungary.
See, I never left this time zone knowing it.
Wait, what?
I never left this time zone while knew that I was in a different time zone. My dad doesn't fly. My mom really doesn't travel otherwise. And I remember, Miami's in the same time zone as New York. But I did go to Tennessee, I think it was.
Oh, sure.
And that's, like, the Tennessee, like, when you enter Tennessee, that's the new time zone.
Right, exactly.
And, like, we're, like, in Tennessee, we're like, hey, are we, like, in, like, be central the next one. Yeah, central.
Right.
Yeah, whatever the next one over is. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a day later, you're like, oh, so I'm late for everything.
Yeah. Well, no, we were only in Tennessee for like an hour.
Like, so it doesn't even count.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a lost hour.
Right, exactly. Lost hour of your life.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I've never left this time zone.
Wow.
I really want to.
You should, man. You can.
Anyone who wants this podcast in L.A. for like a day or whatever,
yeah, exactly.
I'll go out there. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Or anywhere else that's not in Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm talking to you also out there in England, guys. Mm-hmm. I got a good amount of listeners in England.
Hell yeah.
I really do actually have a
nice
good, like just around London, but not in London.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm amazed.
Cool.
Yeah, they're Wichita. I've been shouting you guys out in ages.
Wichita,
Kansas. You know, wherever you guys are, whoever you guys are, I love you, first off. Second off, bring me out there. I'll go gladly do a podcast out of Wichita.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Gabby will come with me.
Yeah, hell
like.
Yeah. I've been to Wichita.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've been to Wichita. I don't think I have.
So, yeah, I barely traveled.
Oh. Do
I'm 29 it. Years old. I barely travel.
You should do it.
I know.
You should take them. I mean, I don't know.
I
fully endorse traveling. I think it's the best.
I gotta get money first.
I know. That's the hard part.
I mean, it felt like the closest thing I've had to a vacation recently is when I went to Poughkeepsie for like 2 days.
Hey, that's fun.
It was, I mean, it was really fun because it was for a TV show.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to say the name. I forget if I have said the name before, but it'll be out in June.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm sure listeners can figure it out, or you just figure it out, or I'll tell you later.
cool.
But, yeah, so, wait, what plays did you do, like, in high school and stuff like that?
Oh, in high school, what did I do? I did, like, Into the Woods probably, like, 3 times.
Who were you in Into the Woods?
So I did it at camp.
So I was seeing your Jack at one time.
No, I was a made-up character. I was the witch. I was the wolf's wife.
Okay, it makes sense because like everyone has a whatever that is like significant other.
Right, exactly.
There's like 5 characters like that, or like their parent, or what?
Right, but like completely made up. They were like, "Oh, we have this wolf costume. Do you want to be a wolf? You could be the witch. You could be the wolf's wife."
Which is hilarious because the wolf is only going to play literally for like 10 minutes.
And terrible.
Like, really?
You know what I mean?
He brings a woman to her sexual
awakening.
Yeah.
A child to her sexual awakening.
Well, in the movie, definitely a child. In the play, not necessarily a child.
Yeah, I know. However you want to interpret it.
In the Shakespeare Park production I did like 3 years ago, it was like an 18-year-old girl. And like, that makes so much sense.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, and exactly. It's not as skeevy, and then, like, I see the movie, and I'm
so
like,
skeevy.
I felt really uncomfortable watching the movie for, like, 2 minutes, even though they toned it down a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So, you were the wolf's wife.
I was wolf's wife, and then I was Little Red. After.
Twice?
No, I guess just once, so I did it twice.
And Little Red's, like, the most fun role in the show, I think.
Hell yeah, so much fun.
Definitely the most growth, I'd say, except for, like, Baker.
Oh, Oh, Baker, come on, yeah.
Yeah, but...
I want to be Baker's wife so badly.
I still know every Words and Moments in the Woods.
So good! One of my dreams is to do all of It Was Your Fault solo.
Oh, wow.
I want to do all of it.
That's complicated.
Maybe I'll do it for Rachel Chapman's like lip sync one day.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet I can do that.
That'd be really funny, actually. Oh, boy. Yeah, like, I'm so obsessed with Sondheim that, like, half his songs, even if I've ever heard, like, I hadn't seen Into Which, like, 5 years between, like, Shakespeare in the Park production and, like, whatever the last one I saw before then was. And, like, Amy Adams starts singing the song, I'm like, I'm singing along with her, like, barely mouthing the words.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Mark. You know, you could be the baker's wife for this one song.
You will be the baker's wife.
No, I don't want to. She's a very fun role. You'd be
she's
great
the
for her.
Best.
You'd
I
be
love
great
it.
For that role.
See, I would kill.
Smart, sassy girl.
Hmm.
A smart, sassy girl.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You could be sassy.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. So where? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So what else did I do? I did like more community theater. I did. I was Dick the Devious in Camelot, a one act written about the Bush administration.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's definitely
saying.
It
was terrible. I won most chutzpah award.
Wow, this sounds like straight up like Maine, like.
Straight up.
New England. Like
terribleness.
Being like, fuck everything.
No, it was terrible. It was horrendous and it was wonderful. Dick the Devious.
So you were Dick Cheney?
And it was Dick Cheney, and it was cross-gender, so...
Makes sense.
We didn't have enough,
Do they, like, dudes. Do, like, a mustache or something like that?
Oh, probably. Yeah. I'm sure that I did. It was really a good adventure.
Okay.
But what else did I do? I did, like, community theater here and there. I was in at camp, I did Uncommon Women and Others.
I've heard of
Wendy Wasserstein.
Yeah.
Like, yelling about periods when I was, like, 15. It was awesome. It was great.
Well, it makes sense because you have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. I was supposed to be, like, a college student. But it was awesome. And probably the reason why I decided to actually, like, go to school for theater and genuinely pursue it.
Where did you go to college for theater?
I went to a school in Connecticut, the Hart School.
Okay.
For Connecticut.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it was cool.
What kind of, like, is it a small school or?
It's a conservatory type program, so there were 14.
In your class?
Yes, graduating. Like, in my acting.
Yeah, in my program at UF, there were, like, 15 of us that graduated that diploma.
Right, exactly.
I mean, there were a lot more. There were like...
Oh, yeah.
Like 200 people with a BA in acting and stuff like that. Like BFA in acting and BFA in musical theater at UF is like 16 total people.
Right.
So,
Yeah. Exactly.
Like 4 for musical theater and like, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. We had it's more of a music school, so the musical theater department definitely gets more love in.
Yeah.
But, We're getting there. We're getting on the map.
Yeah.
We have one Tony Award winner.
Oh, who?
Marin Ireland.
She's an amazing actress.
She's a phenomenal actress.
Like, I see her, like, in every LaBute play, which makes me happy.
Exactly.
Because I love LaBute.
I know, exactly.
And she's great.
She's in Girls.
Yeah. I haven't seen the Some Girls TV show, though.
The
one that, like, he did recently. I think it was a movie. I'm not sure if I saw a review for it.
Oh, wait.
Like,
what?
I think they turned Some Girls into, Girls or Some Girls?
No, not Some Girls. Girls.
Okay.
The TV show.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I heard Some Girls in my mind, so we're talking about LaBute.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Some Girls is a LaBute play that is really good.
Right, exactly.
Girls is a TV show that's pretty good.
It is.
Yeah.
So I went to, you know, theater for that.
Was it like, what kind of program is it? Is that like a...
It's a BFA program.
Well, I mean, like, is it like an experimentally, or is it like everything?
It's
or?
Pretty across the board.
Yeah.
Like, we did Viewpoints, we did Stanislavski, we did Alexander, we did all of the stuff, or whatever that you do for acting school.
I did all that myself, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Only at UF, though. My first school, I did a lot of other stuff.
You went to...
So I have 3 undergraduate diplomas in theater.
Sassy.
2 of them are associate diplomas at my first school, which is cool. Florida School of the Arts.
Okay.
I was there for 3 years.
Yeah.
Finished, like, got my AAS in 2 years, and I'm like, I'm not done with this school yet.
Yeah.
And then stayed for a 3rd year and got the AA.
Mm-hmm.
And then that 3rd year is when I was able to get into UF because I never took SATs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
So,
Badass.
Not really. It was more like because I am a ball of anxiety, especially back then.
Yeah.
And kept having anxiety attacks every time I was thinking about signing for the SAT. And I actually had an anxiety attack the one time I did sign up for it.
Yeah, I believe it.
And so they're like, yeah, you're good. And we like what you are doing. And you have an AA.
There you go.
And you look older than you are. We don't have an MFA class. That's really, that was like part of the reason.
Cool.
And I did good my 1st year there, getting roles. 2nd year, a little worse, but I put on my, I produced my first show, which I feel like helped me moving to New York, putting up shows. So,
yeah. I wish that, I love the art school, and I love all the friendships that I had there. I love the whole time there, but I do really wish that we could have done a lot more on our own, and because the whole acting world is so proactive on your own.
Right.
And you have to be such a go-getter for your own
personal business. It's so tough in that regard.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was just handed things the entire time. I barely had to audition. I had no idea what the audition process was like.
Oh, no.
I didn't know what any of the business side of...
Wait, like, you didn't know... how did you not know, like, what the audition side was like?
No, I mean, like, I knew how to audition.
Yeah.
Like, you don't understand, like, since there are only 14 of us, they would garner plays according to
us. That makes sense, yeah.
So, you're like, oh, I know that I'm going to get this type of role versus this type of role because
right.
I know that I'm only competing with about, you know, well, my kids, like, 9 other girls.
Right, that makes sense.
And so, So I wish that they had just been more realistic. And I think because, they should have set us up with backstage accounts and showed us what Actors Access was about and taken us to New York.
And none of my schools
they never did, like, backstage anyone. Or...
But, I mean, like, UF, they did, like, a New York showcase. I didn't get any of that year because it was a big year for the MFAs.
Mm-hmm.
And they only had so many slots. And, like, and they only basically take musical theater... No matter what.
Right, exactly.
So, and like, they only took like 3 people from acting. From
right.
Here, so.
We had a showcase, but it was on Passover.
Oh.
Which is appropriate for, you know, a business run by Jews.
Yeah.
I try to not get bitter about...
That sounded so bitter.
I know, exactly.
I feel like I should, like, change my religion just right. And I'm like, yeah, Levy's not Jewish.
No, I'm not. I don't give a shit if anybody's Jewish in the business. Christ. But I care that, like, my school didn't have enough foresight to know that... And like, didn't bring anybody in.
Yeah.
Didn't prepare us for the real world in any regard.
That sucks.
And... I know how to be an actor. I know how to work on my craft really well.
Right.
But I have no idea how to get onto a stage and do it for people, you know? I mean, I do. I'm learning and we're all doing it and becoming better people. But I do think that there are just basic things that they could have taught us more about that they aren't doing. And I hope they are now.
Yeah. Well, if you listen to this podcast,
if they listen, you know what? Alan Rust, if you're listening to this podcast.
Oh, shit. You got called out. You got Gabby Van Horned.
Yeah, I did.
No, she doesn't call anyone out.
If you want me to come in and teach, like, a career prep class, let me know.
That'd be cool.
Because I don't have any career to prep people for, but...
I can do it, actually.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm not anyone in their mind, so... okay, so what brought you to New York?
It was just a basic step.
Yeah.
I've thought of my whole career as, like, stepping stones, I guess. And so, like, from Maine, I went to Connecticut. From Connecticut, I went to New York.
Right, and, like, of course, bigger town to bigger town.
Bigger town to bigger town.
Yeah, because I know Hartford's not that small.
Hartford is disgusting and wonderful.
I've heard about that, yeah. Yeah, like, I'm good friends with Joe Leonardo, so... And, like, a whole lot of people in the CT scene.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, we know Joe. You know Joe.
You always say that about people that I should know, Mark, but I'm really bad about
it. You probably know who Joe Leonardo is.
I probably do know you, Joe Leonardo. You're listening, right?
He might be. I can make sure he listens if you want.
Cool.
But I've known him for almost 5 years.
Oh, cool.
Well, we met in 201 at UCB, so.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah.
Nice.
And we met on the day of the Times Square bomb scare.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember hearing about that, like, 5 years ago?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. We met that day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Everyone freaked out.
That was the first day of my 201 class, so.
Cool.
Yeah. I remember that because I went to see a play.
Where did you have to go? I guess you wouldn't have had to walk through Times Square then.
No, we were at, like, it was at the 30th Street location.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yes.
And I remember, the only reason I remember is because I went to see a play in Brooklyn that night.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people were like, Mark, are you carrying? Like, I got texts like, during intermission, like, what are you talking about?
And that's funny.
I'm like, oh, shit. No, I'm good. Thanks.
Okay,
I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for being worried.
Yeah. So you came to New York.
Came to New York. I debated going to LA versus New York versus Chicago for a long time.
Yeah, I think every actor does that.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
And chose New York because a lot of my really good friends came here, still are here.
It's also close.
And it's close.
Yeah.
It wasn't too big of a transition. Who the hell doesn't want to live in New York at some point in their life, you know? Like,
I feel like ever since you watch Clarissa Now, you want to live in New York.
You know what? I didn't have cable growing up, so I never watched that show.
I think I've been, like, thinking recently, like, because I've always lived in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Clarissa Now.
There you go. That's what's like.
Happened when I was, like, I don't know, like, 7 or 8 years old. Yeah. For those who don't know, Clarissa Now lasted one episode.
Did it?
I know it aired at least once, because I remember the episode.
Really?
It was on Nickelodeon. It was after Clarissa Explains It All, and she was, like, a journalist in New York. Like, she moved to New York to be a journalist.
Oh,
so,
cool. Nice. I like that.
Clarissa Now does exist, guys. It's somewhere in the Nickelodeon archives.
Somewhere, yeah. I'm
Actually,
sure it's on YouTube.
I'm pretty sure it was on Nickelodeon. I'm not positive, because I think it might have been, like, what Saved by the Bell, the college years was at primetime, I know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was a really big Saved by the Bell kid.
Nice.
So, yeah. So you moved to New York.
Moved to New York. I've been here for 3.5 years
now. Nice. What made you start wanting to do improv?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to do... Well, okay. I think my junior year of college,
yeah,
when we started doing more main stage productions.
Okay.
We were doing a ton of serious shit.
Like Agnes of God.
Right. We did, like, what did we do? We did,
Miracle Worker. No, Miracle Worker's not necessarily college.
No, no.
Although I did both in high school and college.
Nice. Yeah. I hope you were Helen Keller both times.
Both times. Neither time.
I don't know. We were doing a bunch of serious stuff. And, I was like, why? I don't want to do serious stuff. I want to be funny. I've always wanted to be funny,
You're
and I think I'm
so
funny.
So fucking funny.
Like, I don't want to I've always had a hard time crying on command. It's always been such a, it's every.
I do it in improv scenes.
Do it in improv. I know, exactly. And that was always, I was always so frustrated with all of that, and, like, I don't know. I just saw people taking stuff so seriously.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate, and I wish that I could do.
Oh. Yeah.
And I think that I will down the line, but, like, at this point in my career, I was like, I just want to be funny. And so I came to New York. I had done a showcase at Good, or like a new play festival that
right.
a school associated with Goodspeed musicals in Connecticut.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was really fun. And I did that, and I met Sherry Steinkellner. She was the one writing the show that I was doing.
Okay.
She wrote Sister Act with her husband.
Oh, great.
And
the movie or the musical?
The musical.
Okay.
The musical. She wrote the book with that, for that. And so I remember being like, I want to be funny. And I sat down with her for, like, probably 10 minutes one night. And I was like, you're funny. Tell me what to do.
I love you chuckle. You're like, oh, you're funny. Tell me how to be funny.
Exactly. And so she was like, yeah, you should do UCB, you should, and I talked to other people,
yeah,
older people in the casts of the new musicals who were living in New York, and talked to them about what they were doing, and they all talked about UCB and just doing improv in general. And so I came to New York and then didn't do improv for, I think, a year.
Mine was almost a year also. I moved to New York in, like, June of 09.
Yeah, I was, like, still pussyfooting around it.
I was like, yeah, I'll, like, for me, like, I heard of UCB at my first college.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Upright Citizens Brigade when it was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a little bit of the first season, like, and then sporadically. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, this is funny, but whatever, I'm busy.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, 2000, so I was, like, in high school. Like, beginning of high school. And, yeah, around then.
Yeah.
And then, like, when my friend's like, yeah, you're Upright Citizens Brigade, like, the TV show, like, well, it's also a theater, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
And then, like, I went to ASCAT on my trips and had, like, the most amazing ASCAT experience ever. It was, like, Seth Meyers, Polar.
Oh, my God.
Like, Andy Samberg with some knowledge. It was, like, a really, and Lutz was there, I think.
Wow.
Like, it was, like, really sick, my first lineup. Like, it was all, like, stacked.
Wow.
And then, like, okay, this is funny. And then, like, it was always, like, in my mind to, like, you know, do it when I moved to New York. And, like, when my friend's like, yeah, I'm going to take a UCB class.
Right.
He literally said that the day, almost every day till he moved out of New York.
Wow.
And I randomly took, I was, like, working at Madame Tussauds at that time. And,
uh-huh.
like, I saw an intensive go up, and I'm like, hey, guys, I'm not going to be working mornings through early afternoons. Just schedule me for night for, like, 2 weeks.
Cool.
And took Gabrus and fell in love immediately.
Yeah.
Who was your first teacher?
Winston Knoll.
Oh, great dude.
Great. It was a really, really, really awesome first class. I remember, I had so much fun my first class. I know a lot of people, talk about it. They're like, 101, you know. Well, that was, you know, none of us got along or something like that. Some people have very different experiences.
Mine was, we were all like, we all got along really quick.
Yeah, we got along really well too.
And like, there was like, a lot of genuinely good improvisers in my class.
Yeah.
Like, one of them actually is on a Harold team in L.A.
Oh, cool.
And you remember that show that lasts, like, 5 episodes, Riot?
Maybe.
Like, summer last year, I think. No, spring last year.
Yeah.
She was on that, too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, like, and, like, just, like, other people are like, you're fucking funny.
Right.
Like, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, regardless of whether or not any of them are successful, we all had a really fun time together. I remember just, like, genuinely laughing all the time.
Nice.
But yeah, and then I just stuck with it.
So and did you, like, do the program, like, pretty much straight through, or?
No, I took a long break between 101 and 201, I think.
Okay.
And then in 201, I met Steve Ward, who, Sad Jazz.
Right.
And
Is that when Sad Jazz was formed in 201?
Zeke Smith,
right.
One of the original founding members.
Love that guy a lot.
Love Zeke.
Zeke is an A-plus
dude. I'm going to see him in, like, an hour.
Oh, he's in that class that you're in?
Yeah. And so he started it with two other people who are not on it anymore. And then also, Annalie Gerner. Do you know Annalie? Do you remember? And she moved to L.A.
No, I don't know.
See her in a little bit. There's just been a whole bunch of different variations of Sad Jazz.
Sad Jazz is a very big team.
Yeah, it's been a long-changing team.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I met Steve, and he asked me to come practice with them. And Jason Michael Snow, who is a big old Broadway babe. He was in the team as well. He was in my class as well. Then I met them in 201, and that was very great. Because then I took 301 with a bunch of Sad Jazz people.
It's funny, because,
it helps you keep going.
It's weird. Like, my 301 class, I knew no one going into it. But, like, half my class was all on, like, a practice group together.
I know. Doesn't that always
And it was really weird. Like, because I'm like, what? Why are people thinking about this already?
Right.
But, like, and most of those people are still around. So.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm just like, oh, that's hilarious.
I know. It's so funny. My 301, a bunch of us were on Sad Jazz together as well.
My 401's, like, where my first practice group was formed.
Nice.
I took a long time being, like, really, like, being, like, can I dedicate actual time to this?
Yeah.
That's what happened, so.
Yeah. How do you actually dedicate your time to improv? The most lucrative of all of the industries that you could get into.
Well, it's weird because, I don't know, I feel like it's been helping myself as an artist a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially since I've had to do a lot of jobs recently where they're not very artistic.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, how can I have fun at work?
Right.
And not want to shoot myself or whatever.
Yeah. It helps you become a better person.
And also, like, you know, it's also, like, good. Because, you know, like, it's, like, I tell you, like, when I told you earlier, like, I like going after a show. I like to go to the bar. I like to network people. Right. I like to make friends.
Right.
I met Jenny Sinangelo last night.
Jenny Sinangelo?
From RZA.
Oh,
I've seen her, like, on Facebook before.
Sure.
But, like, I was at the jam last night, and, like, Stefan Schultz, it was a girlfriend, like,
uh-huh.
Who's that girl? He was like, which one? Like, and, like, it took me, like, 5 minutes to explain who it was, because Stefan and I were clearly, like, at opposite ends of the stage. and he's, oh, yeah, Jenny Sinangelo. And I'm like, okay. And I'm at the bar afterwards, and like, someone's like, she's like, hey, you, who the fuck are you? And I'm like, I was gonna ask the same thing to you, but
nice.
And I'm like, I'm Mark. Usually, I'm Jane. Nice to meet you. Like,
yeah. I fucking love RZA. They're I saw good their people. Set last yeah. night.
Oh, Molly Gaby is my longest friend in the community.
Oh, wonderful.
We've known each other since high school.
Oh wow.
Yeah, her and Lindsay are people I went to high school with.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. That
I met Molly my freshman year. So
cool.
Yeah.
Oh god, I just think I love watching them. They're spectacular.
They're a fun team.
They're just fun. They're just having fun.
We should talk about our fun team.
You want to talk about our fun team?
Yeah. Formed by the amazing Patrick Grizzard.
Yeah.
Seriously, I don't know how he was able to do this. He just literally asked.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people he asked. I know, like, he asked me if I wanted to form a team, like 2 months before Fallen Socks was even, like, considered being formed. And I'm like, yeah, definitely. Like, I remember he's like, because I remember I was asking people in the improvised play.
Oh,
like, I asked,
right.
Like, Eric Katz, I asked Rob Spencer, like, random people like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, we're a little too busy. And then, like, I'm like, Patrick, it's all going to be on you, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And, like, then, like, saw the email list. I'm like, oh, sweet, Sergeant. Like, and, like,
yeah.
And Brandon were the only people I knew from the list.
Sure.
And I heard of you. Because
I didn't know anyone really. I'm really bad about networking
and
community stuff.
And then, like, that first practice, I think we all, like, fell in love with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a first, it was a strong love. I mean, Joanna helps so much.
Joanna Bradley is the best.
She's the best.
Like,
man.
I've been very lucky, like, because I've now had two coaches for a long time that are, like, amazing.
Oh, cool.
Joanna
yeah.
Bradley and Jeremy Bent.
Yeah.
And Jeremy is basically our substitute coach.
Yeah, exactly.
If possible.
Yeah, Jeremy is really, really good.
But, like, Jeremy made Flint be what Flint became.
Nice, yeah.
And, yeah, and Joanna Bradley is the queen of the smart weird.
Yeah, exactly. The smart weird is very true. Yeah, I think we're doing some really awesome stuff.
I think we're doing some really cool things.
Yeah.
I can't wait for us to be in a cage match in a year because I messed up and no one submitted us for the first 5 months we were together.
I know.
We'll still be around then.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, we're going to be fucking huge. We'll all be on Harold Light by then. They
yeah,
can't
exactly.
be on in a cage match. We'll be in real cage match.
Right. Yeah.
Like Warren. Yeah,
there you go.
Actually, Warren did go into a cage match right before they became like,
oh, really?
Yeah. They were, like, one of the early indie cage match teams.
Cool.
Like, curtains and stuff like that. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and Sad Jazz won a few indie
cage. We won one round, the first
which
round.
Which is pretty fucking awesome.
Pretty rad.
I've done indie cage match 4 times, never won one.
We were floored.
Who were you guys up against, if you remember?
What
punk-ass teams?
Yeah, what punk-ass teams? Pin-Up Squirrels.
Oh, I got some really good friends in that team.
And I didn't see their set. I didn't,
yeah.
Like, we were obviously
they're great. They're
not
fun.
Even
yeah.
paying attention to anything. And then, oh my goodness. Oh no. With Casey. This is how my brain works. This
You're
is,
just saying a name that could either be a first name or
it's
a last name.
Last name.
Okay. Susan?
Nope. Sorry.
Not Sean.
Yeah, Sean.
Okay.
And Chris and I'm sorry, my brain is
Wiener or
no He was our fucking coach. This is like why I'm.
Oh, Scott?
No.
Oh, wait. Oh. I just combined timelines
if you
of
could see,
and
if you could see what my brain is doing right I now, can't it's going in circles.
Your glasses were like up on your head and your like eyes were doing like the REM thing.
Yeah, exactly. I also haven't had coffee yet. I know that that's not a good excuse.
You had like an hour train ride to like wake up.
I know, exactly. Regardless, they were better than us. They were far better than us, but
you guys are a solid fucking ensemble. I've only seen you guys once, and I really enjoyed it.
Zeke Smith and Jason Spina did some burpees, and I think that's what won.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they did burpees. And then I tried to do them. I successfully did some burpees, but they were not as funny, I will say.
Okay. They were probably like
I want to join too, guys.
They were like legitimate burpees. And like
Zeke actually is really good. We had just, the next week, when we did the next round, Zeke and I did like one of those sprints, those like Spartan sprints beforehand.
Oh no. I'm tired just thinking of that.
And we raced back to the city. We didn't think we were going to make it in time. Like, the lines were terrible. And, like, we raced through the race because we legitimately were worried about time.
Wait, how long was this race?
It was like a 5K or something.
And then the improv show right after?
We did the improv show after.
Who did you guys lose to?
Good.
Night Saigon.
Oh my god, I need a fact checker.
Okay, that's fine. A team named Good.
No, they were really good.
Okay.
Oh fuck.
That'd be great. Can you imagine being on a team called Good?
Yeah.
You'd have to at least be like, it's like.
You have to be terrible or awesome.
Yeah, it's like team swag. Like, they have to be amazing. Yeah, or else, like, fuck you. Like,
fuck you for taking that name.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, it's like, can you imagine selling a show with, and Swag is all incredible players.
Yeah.
Like, they're an incredible team.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think they're capable of having a bad show, just because, like, the players are, like, Sean Distin's on it, Alexis Pereira, like,
right,
like that.
Right, right.
And, like, Jesus Christ.
I have to look up that fucking team name.
Don't worry about it, it's not that big.
Kill me.
Well, I don't want you to die.
Oh, no.
Especially as we're doing a pub set later today.
I know, that's true. That's right.
We can't really... We can talk about it. I don't know much about the show, though.
It's at Cusick, right? It's at 9 o'clock?
Cusick or Creek?
Oh, it's at Creek.
I don't know.
It's at Creek. It's at Creek.
Okay, okay.
Lindsay definitely said Creek.
Yeah. Lindsay Bowling, who's our newest member, who's fucking awesome.
Oh, I'm so happy she's on it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we'll be adding more members soon. I'm not sure. I know that someone else is sitting with us soon.
Cool.
That's weird team business that doesn't even discuss on a podcast.
Yeah, come on.
You guys, if you want to see a really fun team that's doing some really cool things, anytime you see Fallen Socks in our lineup, come see it. Plus, you'll see us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Getting ready to wrap up, just because I know
I know.
Well, no, I mean, also, like, just whatever. My whole thing about this podcast is it has to be as long as it has to be. If it's a minute shorter, fuck me. And if it's a minute too long, fuck me. Like, that's it. Like, that's really where it boils down to.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting ready to wrap up. We still have like 5 minutes left at least, so don't worry.
Great.
What's about Gavin Van Horn people might not know that you're okay sharing?
I like to share a lot, so I don't know.
Okay.
You
are pretty open, yeah.
I'm a fairly open person.
And also after exercise this past week in practice, like, I feel like all of our secrets are revealed. Like,
That's true.
For everyone in the team.
To let everybody know, we did a quick little practice set where we had to come in and every time before we talked, we had to confess something truthfully about our life.
And also our team is a very supportive team.
Yeah, exactly.
So there were a lot of confessions.
There were some good confessions. Everyone knows that I'm a hangry person. That's just a go-to.
What's angry? Like angry and hungry?
Yeah. Very, very, very okay. Hangry very easily. And like food and blood sugar and like...
No, I understand.
All that.
Like, I'm actually the same, but like
so
my blood sugar gets really weird.
Yeah. Like my emotions completely are run by food.
I become like an abstract painting when I'm not fed. Like, yeah, exactly. I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm, like, pretty upset.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Like, I could cry, I could punch, I could like, eat a human being live.
I could poop up myself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anything goes when I'm hangry. That's for sure.
Wow. I never knew you were a hangry person.
Okay, well, good.
I feel like you've always been well-fed, I guess.
I guess I'm well-fed. I can mask it easier, in newer situations. So the more you get to know me, the more hangry I'll get.
I don't know, I imagine like, you practice it a year from now. Like, you just, like
I'm
snap
just
Sergeant's neck.
Up. Yeah, exactly.
I love how all your aggression goes towards Dale Sergeant.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the nicest dudes out there.
I know.
Like, an actively nice human being,
yeah.
Dale Sergeant is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's, well, not from you, around you, but he was raised around you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. New England.
Yeah. Upper New England.
Yeah.
Not just New England. New England.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Upper.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Wait, no, there's not that many people from New England, Blair on the team, just you two.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, there's a lot of Midwest.
Yeah.
Well, because Patrick's West Virginia. No, Patrick's Virginia.
Virginia.
Lindsay's Kentucky.
Kentucky. Cool.
Brandon's Ohio, and Dan is Kansas, and I'm Florida.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Pretty disparate, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no one's from Long Island.
No one's from New York.
No one's from New York. Yeah.
Okay. Also, wait, wow, how did I, wow, this is like when you know
Are
you ever.
Are you hungry?
No, I'm always slightly hungry. It's kind of like in like the Avengers, I always say, I'm always angry. No, I'm actually good right now. It's just that weird like brain fart because I haven't done this podcast in a month.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the last time I recorded was the end of January. I recorded Austin's episode a few weeks before and I just was really busy. So,
yeah.
And then bad things happen, which is fine. It happens. I'm an adult. It's a free podcast, guys.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
There's a lot of content out there. You probably have not heard every episode. I think my parents have heard every episode.
Nice.
They've heard a lot.
Nice.
They will let me know which ones they haven't heard, which they'll probably let me know by Tuesday. if not, Sunday night at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
By Monday morning, that means. which I will be asleep because I have work at 5 a.m. on the day this releases. Woohoo!
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to be promoting this. So do you, actually.
I know, I think I will too.
I'll be promoting this all on my break, probably. Nice. I don't know yet. Whatever. That doesn't matter. My God, my brain is still farting. Duh. How did I forget this? Like, one of the original questions I always ask.
Yeah.
What is something you're looking forward to that does not involve you?
What is something I'm looking forward to?
Yeah, like a movie, a play, a TV show. I'm sorry if I yawned that while talking.
Oh, okay. I mean, everything involves me, right? Everything.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Extension of myself.
Wow, you're such a hippie.
What am I looking forward to? I guess, I mean, your recommendation of BAM is pretty cool.
Well,
wait, actually, sorry, this does involve me, but I'm really excited about it. My sister is coming here this weekend.
Oh, sweet.
For her birthday. Her birthday is on Saturday.
Nice.
And I'm really, really excited to see her.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay, and what else? Like, movies are cool.
Yeah.
Movies are sweet.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see a funny one, hopefully soon.
There's some good ones.
Yeah.
Kingsman's actually shot.
Oh, I really want to see that, the vampire movie. The one with Flight of the Conchords dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What We Do in the Shadows. Which
what
I was
We Do in the Shadows.
Which I was actually going to review for this episode.
Did you see it?
I saw it first day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was one of the funniest, like, 80-minute mockumentaries I've ever seen.
Nice, yeah.
I'm a diehard Flight of the Conchords nerd.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've told you that before or not.
I don't think so.
But I'm a really, really big fan. Like, I drove 2 hours in college to see them.
Nice.
Like, to, like, Orlando, and I saw Kristen Schaal open, made a whole day
of it.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. I had to deal with a crazy drunk lady being like, same business time! After every fucking song.
Ah, I love that.
But they are amazing, and What We Do in the Shadows is so funny. Cool. Are you big, like, fan vampire stuff?
No.
You just like the...
I just like... You just like things.
That crew? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. For those that want to know, it's at The Landmark.
It is.
Landmark Sunshine Theater on Houston Street.
Sweet.
I was referred to it as Landmark, but it was like, Landmark? Oh, you mean Sunshine? I'm like, fuck you. It's not, it's like, okay, it does make sense because it's like calling a name, like calling the Empire on 42nd Street the AMC.
Right, that's because
that's
true.
The chain. But fuck you guys. There's only one Landmark in New York City.
Yeah, there you go.
One Landmark Theater in New York City. There's many Landmarks.
Yeah.
It's a very old city.
right.
And also plugs for you at Twitter, Tumblr, shows, etc.
Ooh, don't do Twitter, don't do Tumblr.
Okay, that's pretty simple.
Show wise, I mean, besides tonight,
which we can't really plug.
I know. We have a show March 22nd.
Yeah, and the 12th.
And the 12th.
What's on the 22nd?
22nd is a new show. My friend Jason from Sad Jazz, we're going to be doing his show.
Oh, cool.
Triple Crown, 8 p.m., Sunday night, March 22nd.
Nice.
Sad Jazz is doing some really good stuff. We're going to Hartford Improv Fest.
Right.
Going to the Pit Fest.
Oh, and also Fallen Slots' show on the 12th is at I forget the time, but I will let you know the time for sure, but it's at Triple Crown also.
Great.
Yeah.
Great, because
that's the Dundee show, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
And we're doing Dogfight eventually. I know that.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
What else? Just, like, go to GabbyVanHorn.com.
Yeah. And she'll probably be appearing on The Crazy Show on April 5th.
Yeah. Out, exactly.
Sounds like it might.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. I'll be there at least for some of it.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
yeah. So, my plugs quickly. Okay. So, at MarkLevy85 is a Twitter. Don't really tumble much anymore. If you want to email the show, htmpod@gmail.com. I think I talked about... Yeah, I did talk about this in the Austin Rodriguez episode. We have the second Forms from the Bucket this week.
Yeah, that's with right.
The most insane lineup I think I've ever booked for a show, which I'm very proud of. Mr. Danger's hosting. Of course, we have Risky Brisk, which is an incredible team that's been around for a little over a year. Very awesome, good people. Warren, which has been mentioned in this podcast, they're an indie legend team, about three or four years old now. And also, one of the most legendary improv teams of all time that's indie, Thank You Robot, where two of the members have been mentioned already this episode. They don't really do shows outside of their monthly show.
Yeah.
So you might want to... And also, Forms of the Bucket was incredible fun when we first did it. The idea of the show is you take your team, you go up there, you choose a form from a bucket, and you immediately do that form. Some of the forms are normal, like a Harold, an Evente. Some of them are made up, like Kiss Prob, which is in the bucket still,
nice.
Drunk Prob, which is still in the bucket, and one that we just call the Improvised Debate. We don't know... Yeah, and also we also have to do it too, which is insane because some of those forms are near impossible to do with two people, the Evente especially, which I've already had nightmares about possibly doing that this week, but it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's $1 or a drink on March 5th at 11 p.m. Please come out to the Treehouse, 154 West 29th Street. And if you want to do the show, email me, let me know. No, I want Sad Jazz on eventually.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah, that's pretty much it for right now. I think I sell my other plugs. And if you are interested, I'm directing a scene that same night at the Producers Club.
Oh, cool.
For Play Club, which is a group that I love.
Oh, you've heard of Play Club?
Yeah. Oh. I'm an original member. I'm also a board member.
Oh, shut up.
Are you? You're not part of
Play Club. No, I think I joined like a really long time ago, but then never actually did it.
Oh. Yeah, I've been a board member for like 2.5
cool.
years.
Cool. I probably auditioned for you then.
Maybe. I probably was like, yeah, let's put her in. She's cute. That's a lot of times me when I went at the auditions. I'm not even joking about that.
That's funny. That's great.
I've been in the group for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Like I'm like first month original member.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I should
like in the emails, I'm in the... In there.
Go back and let me know if I'm thinking of the right thing.
I can easily find out. And yeah, so I'm directing a scene from Christopher Guarini's Why Torture Is Wrong and Those Who Love It.
Oh.
And I'm having a really fun time directing that. I think it's free. It's at Producers Club on 44th Street. Come see it. Gabby, this has been beyond amazing.
It's been awesome.
Thank you so much for doing the show.
Absolutely.
And I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
I love how it just waved.